It's election night, so I gave you a choice.
You can have Hebrew handouts or English handouts. I won't ask. I won't ask which one you take. But tonight you're going to have them. So here the Hebrew ones are floating on this side, and the English ones are floating on this side, and you decide amongst yourselves, and you don't say I never gave you a choice.
Okay, here you go. Here you go. Thank you, Rabbi. Okay.
And we have one person wants to join by phone over here, so we'll make sure we're technologically ready to roll. Okay. I'd like to thank our host, the Kesslers. I once received a call from them late one evening. And he said, I'm out with my wife and we're interested in growing. Maybe have some thoughts. I haven't received too many calls like that in my life. But when I do, you remember them. So you should have a lot of nachas from one another. You should have a lot of nachas from our new bar mitzvah bocher. And we should share a lot of simchas together. I want to thank Rabbi Zaitchik, Rosh Hashanah, and the days leading up to Rosh Hashanah, and the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we daven to Hashem that we should be written in a lot of different books. Right? The Book of Life, and the Book of Parnassah, and one of them was the Book of Zchuyos, the Book of?
Merits.
Book of Merits. So the fact that I'm here tonight, I considered that it was a zchus, and a merit to be able to speak to the Jeff contingency. We should continue you and your Rebbetzin to inspire many neshamas. The first lecture I had with Jeff was January 2014. So Yetzer Shem Vaita. A special welcome to all of you who came out tonight. I call this the pro-life party. Why? Because the Torah tells you b'charta b'chayim, that one should choose life. And the Mishnah says mar b'torah mar b'chayim. The more Torah you have, the more life you have. So you're going to go home more alive than when you walked in. That's my goal. So you made a good choice on election night to come. I understand there were different flyers that were handed out in conjunction with tonight's event. And one of them actually listed me as a lawyer, and one of them didn't, so it was a little bit of hakalokas, exactly. But I got a very good compliment recently. Someone said to me, said, you're a lawyer? I had no idea. I was like, wow, I thought that was pretty good, right? Pretty good. I thought it was a good compliment. So anyway, so if you were hoping to see a lawyer tonight, Jason's available. If you weren't, then, you know, here's how it goes. I always like to try and bring you up to speed a little bit on what's happened since the last year we got together. I'll tell you a little about some of the interesting people I met since we were last together. I'll tell you one quick story. I met an interesting guy, shows up in my class in yeshiva, and he says, you know, could he have the last 5 minutes of class to tell a story? So, you know, the guys, I have rachmanas on them. The less they can hear from me, the more they can hear from someone else, the better. So there's a gentleman who shows up in our class, older gentleman, and he begins telling the guys about his missions that he flew over Cambodia and Vietnam and Laos, etc. So immediately this guy is infinitely more interesting than me. So we give him the mic, and he begins telling me the story, the following story, where he was stationed in Vietnam, and normally one chopper picks up his contingent of people, and that day two choppers showed up, and the chopper called out his name, called him Captain Goldberg, and said, Captain Goldberg, you're coming with us. So he said, when you're in the middle of the jungle in Vietnam, you don't ask too many questions, and he got in that chopper. Chopper lands in an Air Force base, and he gets on one of those big jumbo jets, and 2 hours later, he walks into an office in Saigon. And there were all these various different people in khakis, the various different officials from the military. And he's still in his full regalia with the paint and the grenades and the knives and all everything else like this. And he walks in, and there is a gentleman in a talis. And he says, excuse me, you can't be here. This is a religious service. And he starts to walk out, and someone says, wait a second, are you Captain Goldberg? He says, well, yes. He says, oh, we have our minion. And it was Yom Kippur. And they flew him in. They needed a tenth for the minions. So anyway, Captain Sternberg is... anyway, I don't know if we have a minion tonight, but we'll Okay, anyway, be that as it may. Tonight we're going to try something a little bit different. This is really going to be essentially a text-based...
What? I think we actually do.
Okay, then we'll have to... Okay, very good. So anyway, be that as it may, we're gonna do a little bit of a text-based learning tonight. Yeah. A little bit, start something a little different. Does anybody know what the 5th of November, if anyone ever been to England on the 5th of November? 5th of November.
Guy Fawkes
Day. Yeah, very good. Excellent.
Which day?
Remember the 5th.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. What's that? Very good. There was a plot to blow up Parliament. Don't want to give anyone ideas.
Yeah.
You know, the way things are going in America. Like, I don't give any ideas. But anyway, so yes, Guy Fawkes had a plan to blow up Parliament, and the plot was foiled, and it's the 5th of November. Anyway, so the title of the holiday is Remember the 5th of November, okay? So anyway, so it happens to be, Baruch Hashem, we are here on the 5th of November, and we're going to talk about remembering. We're going to talk about memory. And we're going to talk about what the Torah wants a Jew to remember day in and day out. Okay, the source we're going to use, which you have in front of you, is a classic. Thank you for having it on your shelf. This is yours. Make sure I don't walk out with that. Okay, anyone who's spent a few minutes learning with me knows that it's not too long before we start delving into the... Right? We'll get there soon, right? Okay, so anyway, what's that? The Ways of the Righteous, The Or HaSadikim is a classic. And we'll speak a little bit more, but anyway, that's the text we're going to be working from today. Very important, someone should keep track of the time, because I certainly will not, and we'll be here until the 6th of November, which don't want to happen, okay? So anyway, we get about 35 minutes in, someone just give me a heads up, and so we'll know where we're at. Okay, fine. Now, the idea is like this. The Torah teaches us how to look at the world, okay? I'll just give you an example from last week's Parsha. The Torah teaches a Jew how to look at the world. So last week in the Parsha, Pasuk said the following, said that Hashem descended to see what was happening with the Tower of Babel, with the tower that was being built, which the sons of man built. Sons of man built. Says Rashi, who else would it be? The sons of who? Of course the sons of man. Says Rashi, did he mean the sons of a donkey, or the sons of a camel? I'm sure it meant, so what does it mean, the sons of man? It's a reference to Adam, first man. Adam Arishon, the first man. So why do they need to let you know that over here? Because just like Adam HaRishon denied, was Koifer Tov, he was an ingrate to a certain degree, he didn't appreciate the fact that Hashem gave him his spouse. So too over here, the people who were involved in building the tower also denied the goodness of Hashem. How'd they do that? They rebelled against Hashem, who rescued them from the flood. Okay, there's only one thing wrong with that, is that they weren't alive
right.
at the time of the flood. Because if they did, they would be dead. Mm-hmm. Right? So in what way were they ingrates? What does the Torah want from them? That they were ingrates, that they didn't have more appreciation, they weren't alive at the time of the flood. Someone said something? Someone answered? Yes, what do you say?
I was just going to say that the fact that Hashem rescued Noah and his family. And
good.
All his people presumably came as a descendants from Noah and his family. They should have felt sensitivity and gratitude that as if it's as if Hashem rescued them.
Because that's a very good answer. They were saved on account of Noah. The reason they're there alive on terra firma is because of Noah. Right? Very good answer. The Bar Basadis is a very interesting answer. He says they should appreciate the fact that they weren't born in the generation that got wiped out in the flood. Because had they been, they'd be long gone by now. Right? Now, anyone thinks, well, I'm really glad, I'm really appreciative of Hashem, I wasn't born in the time of...
The Holocaust.
Exactly. What's that? Yeah, so of all the times to be alive in the world, I was telling my kids that I'd walk in, I voted this morning, and I was telling my daughter, you ever heard of such a thing? Can you imagine walking into the Tsarist Russia saying, do I want to vote for Ivan or I want to vote for Nikolai? Like, there's no such thing. You know, there's a revolution and there's guns and there's everything. And we walk in, I vote for him, vote for her, whatever happens to be. Right? So the Jew, why am I bringing this out? Because an example, a person lives in a generation. So who's thinking this way? The Torah demands that a Jew thinks more expansively and appreciate the fact that I'm alive and well in America, Tov Shin Pei, the ability to get together and learn Torah and, right? Unbelievable. So anyway, that's the concept. That's what we're going to think about over here, is the way the Torah wants us to look at the world. Now, the basis of, even though we're going to be learning from the Sefer, the Or HaSadikim, the source is really Duties of the Heart. Right, Dr. Rubin? Okay. The Duties of the Heart, a classic sefer, okay, written, for those of you who are familiar or not familiar, written in the end of the 11th century. So we're talking about, like, the First Crusades, like, a long, long time ago. Right? Fine. Now, like, before America. Like, way before America. Right? Like, way before America. Right, okay, anyway. So the Alter from Kelm calls us the grandfather of all Musar Sorim. And Rabbi Yochum of Ovitz, he wrote that there's two who understand the Yetzirah. Hashem and the Chovos Levavos. Those are the only two who figured out the Yetzirah. So it's an unbelievable sefer. There was actually a malach. There was an angel. I learned with very fine people, but I haven't yet been zoche to learn with an angel. Okay, but an angel used to learn with Yosef Karo, and we have it's collated all the various different teachings that the angel told of Yosef Karo, and one of the things he told him was, learn the Chovos Levavos. So that's a pretty good endorsement, right? No one said that about my book yet. But if you hear it, you know, let me know. Rabbi Zaitchik, we'll give you a plug. Okay, very good. Okay. Exactly, from the angel, right, exactly, right. Angel's Bakery, maybe. Okay, anyway, so the sefer that we're going to use from is the Or HaSadikim. Okay, the Or HaSadikim, which you all have in front of you, and it's in some language, English or Hebrew. If you need any other language, I'm not taking responsibility. Spanish, Yiddish, like you're on your own. Okay, so anyway, so this sefer is came out in late 14th century, early 15th century, and it's anonymously written. We don't know who put it together. But he compiles from various different sources, including the Chovos Levavos. Now, he has the sefer, if you're not familiar, that goes through 28 different character traits. In yeshiva, we go through one each day. We used to, when we have a new guy in yeshiva, I used to give him the table of contents and say, okay, you pick which one. And then he'd say, well, how about the gate of anger? And we'd all be thinking, wow, he must really have an anger problem. So then even if we instructed the jury, they shouldn't draw any negative inferences. No, nobody could do it. So now we just, each day of the week, so today was the sixth or seventh day of Mar Cheshvan, so we opened up gate to chapter 7. One of these days we're going to do chapter 11, it's kind of like bankruptcy, but leave that aside. And so each day we do a different midah, and Baruch Hashem, we're becoming perfect people. Now, so my marshal, this safer, have you ever seen the way they cut cement? Sometimes they have to put a pipe under the road, right? So that's what they have to open up the road. They have to slice open the road. That's probably very sharp. That whatever is chewing up the cement is probably very sharp. This safer is that sharp because it's gonna get through us. We're like kind of coarse and rock solid, and we need to become human beings. We need to become a mensch. That's gonna take a lot of hard work. So anyway, that's what this safer does. Now it's gonna make a Yiddish heart. Can make a Yiddish heart. Now the interesting thing over here is there's a gate of remembrance. There's a gate of remembrance. Now, I find that very interesting because I don't think of memory as a midah. I don't think of it as a character trait. A character trait is humility. A character trait is alacrity. A character trait is generosity. Memory is just something that's going on in my brain, and I just remember this, I don't remember that. Sometimes memory can be a mitzvah. Remember Shabbos, remember going out of Mitzrayim, remember a Molech, so we can have mitzvahs, but I don't necessarily think of memory as being a character trait. And I think most people's memory is rather kind of quirky. So, like, we could remember who played first base in the 86 Mets, even though in the grand scheme of my life, it's really not that important. Right? And other things which are much more important, like, you know, my anniversary, like, well, forget about it. Like, right? Like, I don't remember that, right? So, fortunately, I understand many people use their anniversary as their PIN number. I think it's because when they want to know how they have such little money in their account, they remember the day they were married, and it's the whole, anyway, be it as it may. So I find this memory, it's an interesting thing. You walk in and you remember the Welcome to the Hotel California, you haven't heard that song in 10 years, and you're in the bank, and you know the words right away, and the Gemara, the Talmud piece that you learned like 5 minutes ago, you can't remember at all. So the memory is not exactly what we would like it to be. And moreover, there's probably therapists' office all over the world with people who are remembering things they wish they could forget. Right, they weren't picked for the kickball team, and they were the spoiled child, or the neglected child, or the middle child. They're like, everyone's got something that they wish they could just forget about, and we just can't really seem to do it, right? So there was a nice theory came around, Nancy Reagan's theory, remember, with just say no. Remember, just say, so why don't we say, like, just forget it, just forget about it. That would be, I'd be a very insensitive therapist. They'd say, well, just forget about it. Right? They wouldn't, it doesn't really work, right? My Rav used to say, he'd say, you know, just say no. A very silly, very silly theory. He said, it's like telling a homeless person just buy a house. Doesn't really solve the problem. Anyway, so our goal is like this: is how, what are we supposed to do with the concept of memory? And the Or HaSadikim is going to tell us over here, okay, 30 things that a Jew should remember. Okay? Now, he's going to say that we should probably think about it every day. That's a tall order. But if we would think about just one every day of the month, it's unbelievable what we could accomplish. So that's what we're going to work on tonight. Okay? So the Chovos Levavos says that if a person will make what he calls it a self-accounting, make a self-accounting, a light will break forth for a person and a radiance will surround you. So if tomorrow, when someone says, wow, you look radiant today, you'll know why. You'll know why. You give me a plug. Okay, great. Let's go. So let's go to number one. Okay, where everyone's got their either English or Hebrew? English or Hebrew? English or Hebrew. Okay, great. There's very good translations out there, by the way. One of the reasons I was able to speak to Feldheim, I spoke to Feldheim and I wanted a photocopy. They only gave me 10 pages. That's why if you run out of English, then that's the best I could do. Like 10 pages, I have to start pay for it. But I said I could sell them some books. So anyway, so be that as it may. So here we go. Number one, we'll start with Jeremy. Jeremy, when is your birthday?
October 14th.
What year?
2006.
I did that. I knew no one else would want to give the year that they were born. So that's why I picked on Jeremy, right? Am I right? No one wanted to give. October 14th?
2006.
October 14th, 2006. So let's see the first thing we're supposed to remember, okay? Everyone's got number one, Zechira Arishona. First thing to remember, Zechira Arishona. The very first thing to remember, Shetizgor Echoitzia Boyer is Barak Na'ayin Lich. There was once, what is October 14th?
Yes.
So October 13th, I'm sure your parents remember it very well, October 13th, you did not exist.
Sure.
October 13th, you did not exist. You remember October 13th?
He didn't exist then.
What's that?
He didn't exist.
He didn't exist. No. He did not exist. Okay? The world was Jeremy-less. Right. We were not yet Zoyche to have Jeremy in the world. Okay? Now, nobody forced Hashem to bring Jeremy into the world. As good as you are, right? As much knock as we have, like Hashem really didn't have to do that. Right? Nevertheless, we should remember the Tov, Sha'asa Imcha, that Hashem did with us, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu brought Jeremy into this world and raised him up this very day. And v'chol zeh, everything that he did, lo hayechayev lasoscha, Hashem didn't have to do that, ela bechinam, he did it for free, for nothing, just purely out of chen. Meiroyech hasodav, an abundance of kindness that Hashem bestowed upon you. And on account of that, one is obligated to give hoidah, to give thanks to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, so the first thing we got to think about is the following, is that there was a time in the world, even though we like to think that the world revolves around us, and nothing really, and really we're like kind of in the middle of the whole universe, but there was a time in the history of the planet where I did not exist, and Hashem said, Esti Rubin. And there you are on the planet. So I once had a Kirov trip. There was a trip, a group of college students, and I couldn't believe this. Everyone was going to Cancun. Everyone was going to who knows what island, and these guys are coming to Muncie. Like I couldn't believe it. Like, you must have like the best like rabbi in the world. How could he get you to come to Muncie for spring break? But anyway, so I said, but these people are going to ask you. Like one guy said, like what they're going to ask me? What did I do there? What did I learn there? What did I go all the way to Muncie for? So I said, look, they're going to tell you. I said, just tell them one thing. The best part of waking up is, what's the best part of waking up? Folgers in your cup. I said, it's not Folgers in your cup. The best part of waking up is
waking up.
The best part of waking up was waking up, because Hashem didn't have to wake me up, and Hashem decided to wake me up, and obviously if he woke me up, he had big plans in store for me for that day. Right? And I could walk the planet, and I could make people happy, and I could praise Hashem, and I could earn Olam Haba, and I could enjoy my waffles, and all the wonderful things that are in the world. Okay? So that's the first thing a person remember. I had no entitlement to be in this world whatsoever, and there was a time when I did not exist. Right? Maybe go out and you can get like the headlines from a newspaper. You get the headlines the day you were born. And there was no David Rose in the world. Imagine that. And now there is. Ah, amazing. Imagine just thinking that once. Wouldn't that feel a great thing to do? And you walk in and people say, "Are you okay?" Oh yeah, I'm great. I'm great. Yeah, no problem. Okay, let's go number two. Number two. Now, I didn't make a full analysis, but I didn't see anybody walking with any oxygen tanks. I didn't see anybody walking with any crutches. I didn't see any wheelchairs at the door, right? Which means that more or less, all of us who walk through the door are a sholem. We are complete. We have hands, feet, eyes, ears, nose. I'm going to stop there. But anyway, be that as it may, that's the second thing to remember. Ashniya, the second thing she is called, you should remember. Chazdei Hashem Yisborach. The kindness of Hashem, shehu sholim be'evorav, that we have a complete set of limbs. Isn't that nice? Wow. If a person would be missing something, let's say they'd be missing, I don't know, Their eyes. Their eyes. And what happened? They found some physician, and the physician is in Bethesda, Maryland, and he's the world's greatest eye restorer, and he is now giving you sight. And every single day, you would want to call him every single day. I just saw the fall foliage. I saw a tree outside, and it's red, and it's yellow, and it's orange, and it's purple. And you won't believe it. I saw my son put on tefillin for the first time, and I saw my granddaughter go down to the chuppah, and I was able to look at the siddur this morning. I saw a sunrise. I saw a sunset. You go bonkers. You would not know how to possibly repay this person for restoring your vision, right? So why do we have to wait until we've lost our limbs and hope that we get them back? Why can't we just wake up and be, hands, feet, eyes, ears, mouth, I'm a shulling.
Is that why you say the Sher Yitzar? You say that prayer when you're leaving the bathroom so that it's not when you lose something, but every time you're able to do what you need to do in the bathroom,
right?
You'd say that prayer.
Correct. Every morning, Bokeach Ivrim. Every morning, Bokeach Ivrim. What's that?
Does the prayer come from this?
Part of the idea. There's two. That's a good question. It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that the show. This is just in brackets, but the Shulchan Aruch is not involved in explaining too many brachas, right? It's not really the purpose of the Shulchan Aruch to explain brachas. You look someplace else for that. But the one bracha that he explains at length is Asher Yotzer, right? Goes to Asher Yotzer, and he talks about what Hashem did, that he took a neshama, and he took a body, and he put it together, and that's an unbelievable thing that's going on over there. So it's fascinating that of all the brachas, that's the one that gets the most treatment. But yeah, it's a way, but we every morning say Pokeach Ivrim, and the fact that we're able to get out of bed, and a person never had back pain, right? And they know what it's like to, those shoes, I really like to tie those shoes, but they look really far away, and how am I going to tie that, right? But if you when you wake up and you're able to lean over and tie your shoes, let's say Hallel, right? So I had a friend of mine, and he's a mechanic, and I asked him, I said, is there any cars from 1974 on the road? And he said, well, I don't know, maybe 1974 Pinto was you could find some vintage cars, right? I said, and any have their original parts? He said, that's very unlikely. I said, I have all my original parts. I'm a 1974 edition, and I have all my original parts. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so far we're appreciating the fact that October 13th, there was no Jeremy in the world, and Hashem said, Jeremy, right? And not only that, but every morning Hashem is waking us up, and we have our limbs, we are shulling. Right? So far so good? Okay, great. Okay, now let's see, what's the third thing we should remember? Third thing we should remember, Shizgar Chazdei Hashem Yizbarach, Shenosan Boi Chachma. Okay, now no jokes over here, but you're all sane. I know that just because you came to hear me speak, that you might wonder about that. Maybe you're not. You all have your marbles, okay? You're all sane, so far as I can tell. I'm not going to leave it at that, okay? If you're not, just we'll make an appointment later. But anyway, so the point being is that Hashem gave me intelligence. Yizkor Chasdei Hashem Yizbarach Shenasa Bo Chochma V'Das. That's the very first thing we daven for, right? That we should have a brain in our head, okay? I don't have to be Albert Einstein. I don't have to be the Vilna Goin. You know, it was a rumor in our house that our family descended from the Vilna Gaon. So we had a picture, like a lithograph from the Vilna Gaon. And my wife would walk past and say, you and the Vilna Gaon have the same nose. I said, brain. I go to the Vilna Gaon's brain. That would be something dark. Vilna Gaon's nose, no. Anyway, I don't know how far it's going to get me. But be that as it may, what's that? Yeah, I guess, yeah, I don't know. No one yet represented the state before the Vilna Gaon. No one yet. Okay, imhu haya shoytev, a person would be a fool, umakareya ksuso, and he'd be a person, if you ever saw people who were deranged, it's a very pitiful sight. Kama haya inyona makalkon, how messed up all the person's affairs would be, v'loha nechoshu mu, no one would value that person. They'd walk in, they'd have something to say, it's like, persons, it's a shame they've lost their marbles, right? So he says, if a person could make a person sane again, give them back their wits, wow, kama roi the shabcho, what praise, how much would it be worthwhile to give praise to the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Okay, so the first thing we have to remember is that Hashem made Jeremy, and then he gave all of us our limbs, and we are sane. Okay, so basically, the most exciting part about all this is that what? I haven't even gotten out of my bed yet. these three reasons, you don't have to have found a parking space, you don't have to beat traffic, you don't have to have the stock split, or the Yankees won, or whatever it happened to be, right? This is before you put up breakfast, before the first cup of coffee, right? Well, I don't know how much we can remember, before the first cup of coffee, but midway through the first cup of coffee, you can think about these three things, and think about it. Don't think about it. Let it sink in. Put a smile on your face. Begin to appreciate it. Correct? Because this is happening to everybody in the world. It's happening to the Irishman, and it's happening to the Portuguese lady, and it's happening to the cop, and it's happening to everybody, and nobody's thinking about it. Why is no one thinking about it? It's important, because we're all busy living, worrying, stressing, figuring out what place we have to be. So that's why it's in the gate of remembrance. Not because it's so hard to remember, like how many digits of pi or what. It's hard to remember because it's so patently obvious. But that's exactly what he's putting on the map. Okay, so far so good. Now, number four. We're gonna up the. Don't worry, we're not gonna do all 30. Don't worry, I'll Rahmanas on you. I'll Rahmanas on you. But if you do want to do all 30, call me. Okay. Now. She is called, number four, she is called Toiva Shenasan Loi Kel Yisbarach. You ready for this one? I have to remember the Tov that Hashem Shenasan Loi Toiroso. Okay, now we just up the ante, everybody. After the thanks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah. For what purposes? Lohoiros Loi Derocha V'Yisharim. To show us the straight path in life. Do you ever think about, what in the world is the Torah doing in Scarsdale or New Rochelle? What's it doing here? How did it get here? The Torah wasn't like given in the Lower East Side and then like we just like moved out to the suburbs. The Torah was given thousands of years ago in the middle of a desert on a mountain someplace. What is it doing here? And you ever think about why do I have any connection whatsoever to the Torah? I was trying to do a little bit of research about how many Jews there are in Westchester. Rabbi Zaitchik, you have a ballpark figure?
160,000.
So I didn't do a head count here, but there's less than 160,000. There is less. Maybe even less than 60,000. And maybe even less than 6,000, maybe less than 60. Hello? If you're sitting here tonight, or you're sitting in, who's here to go to, Rabbi Hoffman? I heard his name, Rabbi Hoffman?
Yeah.
And you're sitting in shul next to Jeremy, or you have to think, I hit the cosmic lottery. I hit the cosmic lottery. What am I doing with a Torah in front of me? What am I doing with a Mishnah? What am I doing with a Siddur? How in the world did this happen? There's a lot of Jews running around out there. And they're completely, sad to say, oblivious that they have a Torah, and the Torah is waiting for them. So if you just walk on your way out to work and you just look at the books that are on your shelf, what are these Sfarim doing on my shelf? And we talk about it, and we give it to our Torah, and the Chavetz Chaim said this, and the Chassam Sofer said that. The Chassam Sofer? I have a connection to Presburg? What? And I could run into the Vilna Gaon, we have something to talk about, and Abaye, and Rav, and the Rajba. It's unbelievable. Hashem gave a Torah. Not just that he gave a Torah, but he gave a Torah that could make it this far into Golis, this far into exile, all the way into Westchester. One of the we were all dancing with the Torah not so long ago. It was a Tuesday night, a few weeks ago. We were all dancing with the Torah. Shehivdi lana minatoyim. I won't sing. Shehivdi lana minatoyim. That Hashem separate us from those who make a mistake. But Nasim on a Torah's emes. He gave us a Torah of truth. V'chai oilam. And eternity's in there. So I want to tell you a story I heard. There's a Rabbi Steven Berg. You heard of Steven Berg? Isha Torah? I can't imagine what his life looks like. Every week he's in Sao Paulo and he's in all over the world. So he writes the following. Yeah, simplest Torah, Isha Torah. Worth visiting, Rabbi? Isha Torah?
Go for it.
Go for it. Absolutely. In the midst of all the dancing, I saw one of our students standing off on the side and he seemed disturbed. I went over to see if he was okay. He said a year ago he had no idea what the Torah was and now he was privileged to study it. I said that sounded pretty fantastic. I asked him why he seemed so upset. He said although he was privileged to be in Yerushalayim at Aish, he couldn't help but think about the thousands of Jews his age who still didn't know of the Torah's wisdom or existence. And he looked at me and he said, they're Hashem's children also. And I can't celebrate until they come back. So Berg looked at him and said, it's our duty to celebrate because it will give us the strength to continue the mission that they have at Aish and by extension by JEP. I think it's absolutely appropriate. We must have joy in our hearts if we are to reach out to our fellow Jews. And he smiled and he rejoined the dancing. And may Hashem grant all of us the simcha and inspiration so we can reach out to our fellow Jews besimcha. So that's a sign of a person. And I when I walk home that Simchas Torah at night, and when I'm dancing, I think about all the other Jews and all the other shuls and all the other centuries. And, you know, 15th century Morocco, they were doing the same thing. So a person has to appreciate that. I'm not telling you to dance with the Torah tomorrow. Don't tell you I gave that idea. But it's worth thinking about. It's a zecher. It's something we have to remember. We have an obligation to learn Torah. And if it's just rules, then we're going to forget how fortunate we are. So far, so good? Questions, comments, rebuttal? Good? Okay. Now, where are we holding over here? Oh! Number 5. Don't worry, we're going to skip around a bit. We'll make it exciting. Number 5. Shiyizkor rachme akel yizbarach shirachem alav l'seis Torah. So he gave us a Torah. His holy Torah he gave us. Ilu melech basav adam, and if there was a king, shalach loiksav, and he sent you a text, v'kar loiksav, and you read the text, haibo dover shalachav, and there was something you couldn't understand about it. You ever get those texts and you're thinking like, no, it can't be what that person meant, right? I don't think that was intended for me, or right? So, he says, you don't know what he was talking about. Kamahai etzar, how much distress would you go to find out what the king wanted? So I give a mashal, just a very similar concept to what the Orchaz Dik was talking about. So you walk into Jason's office, and there is a chashuva office with the mahogany, and pictures of all the satisfied clients, right? And and there is a framed letter, and the letter is a letter from Jefferson to Napoleon. And there it is framed, and it is, I mean, what a...
People must have been to my office about the Louisiana Purchase.
Oh, exactly. Very good. Exactly. And it's talking about the Louisiana Purchase, and the Sotheby's auction thing is still on it. And every, wow, what? Tell me about that. So someone says, like, well, what's the letter say? And Jay says, you know, I don't even know French. You say, what? You went to Sotheby's. You shelled out who knows how much to buy this piece of history, this artifact, this rarity, and it's framed on your wall. You know the foggiest notion what it says? I don't know. Could be as you know. Could be a shopping list. I don't know anything from nothing. We live in a world where a person can have access to just about any piece of Torah. English, Hebrew, with dots, without dots, in the print, on the computer. The davening is like an interesting thing because first we had Art Scroll, and then we had a good translation, right? And then they came out with the Metsuda. So then you had the Hebrew over here, and you had the English right next to it. And then that wasn't enough. They came with the interlinear. So then they put the English right over the Hebrew. So now I'm like wondering what's going to be next. And you just hire someone who comes in and is like, going to daven for you. everything is so accessible. If you want to learn virtually anything that's out there, it can be done. Right? So again, it may take time, and I have students coming all the time, and should I daven in Hebrew, should I daven in English? So I'm not saying it's going to be easy, and a lot of us have language barriers, but I'm just telling you that if a person wants to accomplish in learning, if you want to accomplish in davening, if you want to accomplish in character, if you want to accomplish, you'll be able to do so. You'll be able to do so. I was just talking to a gentleman, he was explaining to me that he doesn't have that much time to learn, and he's not poor by any means. And I said, do yourself a favor. Find the sefer that speaks to you the most. And hire the rabbi that speaks to you the most. And spend a half hour a week in Gan Eden. Why don't you do that? You'd have to drop everything and run off to B'nai Brak. Buy yourself a half an hour of paradise. You can do it. So whether they'll take me up on it or not, I don't know. But the point is that the Torah is waiting to be understood. At whatever level. At whatever level. Fine. Okay, let's jump around a little bit. This one's a little bit of a stinger, but anyway. Number 11. Time check? How are we doing time-wise? Who's my timekeeper?
I got it.
You doing okay? Okay.
6:38 left.
6:38 left. Great. Okay.
Of 35 minutes.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you. Terrific. Very good. Very good. Okay. Now, number 11. Number 11. Shizgar echli azorez umaher binyona of lesef choin. Person should remember how much effort they put into making money. Okay? V'choy shev yom avalai, you think about it day and night. If who you're going to befriend, you're always thinking about what's going to be and to be able to make money over here, and you don't know if it's going to play itself out. Basically, we marshal all of our intellect about making money.
Yes.
So let me explain. There was a period of time where I had to be in court in Orange County on Tuesday. And on Wednesday in Queens and Thursday in Brooklyn. And it was like this time of year. So you couldn't, the option of davening in Muncie and then fighting traffic was definitely not going to happen. So I said, very simple. I'll drive ahead of time. I'll daven sunrise. Best time to daven. And I'll have the davening under my belt and I'll be able to go to court without too much traffic. So that means a Tuesday I drove to Goshen or Kiryas Yovel. And Wednesday I drove to Queens. And Thursday, now, there is a sunrise minyan at my, there's 5 minutes from my house. Wow. And I'm never there. So what in the world was I doing at a sunrise minyan in Queens or Kiryas Yovel? And the answer is what? Money. Money. Like the students are saying, you know, it's so hard to get up for chakras. I said, $1,000. I've offered you $1,000. You'd be there? I said, absolutely. $500? Sure. $300? Sure. $200? $150? I think that at $150. So showing up at times is worth $150. So if you want it, and you go out in the Palisades or Muncie any morning, you'll see a lot of cars. A lot of people up early. Why? Make money. Right? When something has to get done for work, it has to get done. So that's the concept. Person's like, I'm not really cut out for getting up early for minyan, and I'm not really cut out for doing this, and I don't really have the brain for this. And so we give ourselves a lot of excuses. But if you look to another parallel aspect of our life in terms of our profession, which the Torah values and wants you to take seriously, and wants you to take, and wants you to do a good job, and wants you to be thorough, and wants you to do a good job for your clients, right? So it's just pointing out that if I have that level of thoroughness and accuracy and care in this aspect of my life, in terms of making money, I can also and should also apply that to my Torah. Yeah, you had a question? No, good? Okay. Anyway, fine. That's the idea. You know, sometimes you walk into the CVS. So you ask a person, oh, do you have whatever? Oh, you know, third aisle, about, you know, 9 yards down, about, you know, shoulder high. The guy doesn't have like a high school degree, right? And he knows the inside and out of that CVS store, like, right? So the guy asked me, where in Chumash does it talk about... I don't know, mitzvah mezuzah. I think it's in there. Yeah, it's there. I don't think it's abrasious. Nah, but it's there. We'll find it. Right? Why is that? Okay. Number 15. Let's go to number 15. Shizkor shadim mezamin tzrachav koidim shetzarach. A person has to pack away things for a trip. We once traveled to Eretz Yisrael. My wife, one of her many talents, and perhaps one of her greatest, is the ability to pack for a long trip. Like, this trip to Eretz Yisrael, it was like Normandy. It was like storming Normandy Beach. And everything, and the pajamas were in this pouch, and like the backup pajamas were in that pouch, and like everything was there, and the pillow, and the teddy bear, and she, have you ever been to Rock and Kosher? A lot of aisles in Rock and Kosher? A lot of eyes. My wife had all of Rockland Kosher condensed into like one satchel. It was unbelievable. And we're on the Palisades, and my daughter says, do you have any plums? She had mangoes, and she had papayas. She didn't have plums. We didn't have plums. That was one thing we didn't have plums. But when you're going on a trip, and you haven't packed something along with you, you kind of don't have it. Right? You ever been on the plane and you thought you packed something you carry on, and it's really... So they're not stopping for you. Right? They're not stopping for you. Right? So the point being, says the Or HaTzaddikim, that we all have a very long journey to take. And it's actually an eternal one. Right? We're only just passing through, as Rabbi Zaitchik reminds us all the time. We're just passing through. And we have a long journey to take. And we got to pack appropriately for that journey. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to pack? What's going to come with us? Rolex. What?
Not the plums.
Not the plums. Plums not coming with us. Mitzvahs. Mitzvahs.
Torah learning.
Meisim toivim. The davening, trying to get closer to Hashem. These are the things that are going to accompany us on the long, long journey. Right? So sometimes, you know, we were going away and I saw the kids, we had a great idea, the kids should pack their own stuff. And this one's putting in, you know, like, you know, Twizzlers and like their Lego, like all the things, like how about clothes? Like, how about things we actually might need? No. It's too much more fun. Let's put this in here, you know? And so, like, the point being is we have to know what to pack. Right? If you're going on a northern vacation, you're going on a southern vacation, you got to know what to pack. So that's one of the things that we are going to forget, because the rest of the world is not packing. The rest of the world is eating and drinking and being merry, and they're not busy packing at all. So we have to be effective packers for the long term. That's what number 15 wants you to remember, that a person's going on a long trip. And when you go on a long trip, you got to pack tzeda l'derech. You got to pack food for the journey. So, Kal v'chomer, all the Moso, all of us, Shanasa came, we're going to the Olam Aruch, we're going to the world, an eternal world. Derek Rechoik, a very, very far trip. Upitoim, and right away, Shalech HaMokh, Kodesh Baruch Hu, grab a person right away, and say, my friend, oh, very good, thank you, you come with me. And that's, you say, oh, well, I just had a couple of things I want to pack, and a couple of mitzvahs that I wanted to do, and I meant to write that tzedakah check, and I meant to learn that. So that's where we have to remember that, because we wake up in the morning, we have a certain number of hours in the day, and a certain number of days in the week, and a certain months and days of the month, and we have to make sure that we're utilizing those days and those times to pack effectively for the long term. Okay, we have 5 minutes left. So what should we do over here? Okay, we'll do number 18. Number 18 is Geschmack. Number 18 is like this. Say, this is what it means to remember. This is what it means the way a Jew looks at the world. You're not going to find these lists of 30 things that you're not going to find in the New York Times, and you're not going to find it anywhere else. You find in the Or HaTzaddikim. This was written 500 years ago, and this is true today. And if a person would think about one of these things 5 seconds every day, or one of them each day, you have no idea what to do for your life. Not only your life, the people around you, in whom you aspire. They are accessible, and they're doable. You don't have to be a genius for this. Number 18. She is Kor Chazdei Mokom Shu Matzala Soim of Kiyah Oilam. A Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us from a lot of mishaps. Okay, Jason can relate to this. Mm-hmm. I was once, you know, you're in court, you're waiting for your case to be called, and the case in front of you, so the judge says, okay, tell me what's this case about. He says, hit in the rear, and he tells you, okay, the plaintiff was sitting at a stop sign, and the defendant plowed into him. He says, okay, fine, and tell me, can you try the injuries? And he begins to start going through every vertebrae in the back. Yeah. And there's L3, and letters you never even heard of. And you begin to think about the fact that this man was sitting at a stop sign through no fault of his own, right? And he probably, since that incident, has not enjoyed a restful night, right? Now, it could have been any of us, right? So we have to think that a person just goes through a day, get up in the morning, leave their house, come back at the end of the day, and they didn't slip on the ice, and they didn't have I was just looking at the outbreaks of different things at the CDC, and this type of lettuce, and that type of thing, right? It's not shayach. And I didn't have to go to the 24-hour pharmacy, and I didn't have to call Hatzalah. These are happening to a lot of good people, right? I'm sure we call Hatzalah. They got a lot of calls today. Okay? And all and these things, I was spared. Doesn't walk around paralyzed with fear and anxiety. Hashem, thank you. You brought me home today. You got me through a whole winter in my winter coat. You brought me home. You ever see what people are doing when they're driving? It was going on in Muncie. The Erev Sukkot in Muncie is like the Honda Odyssey Grand Prix. It's not Shayach what's going on. And the woman's on the phone and she's wiping her son's nose behind her. So just to come home at the end of the day. Hodu Lashem Ki Tov. Okay. Now, we're going to wrap up over here. But there's a lot in these 30 things. They may seem simple, they're not. Again and again, you'll see new things in them. You'll see new things in you. You'll see new things in the world. I'm telling you. You'll see how you can do for other people, and you can see what Hashem is doing for you. There was a... There was a gentleman... We travel. He speaks in number 22. We're not going to do it inside now, but doing for others. The importance of doing for others. So this past summer, I had the pleasure, schus, opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael. And my hosts who put me up, they said, look, if you need anything while you're over there, call Tzvi. Okay, so we showed up. We couldn't find exactly where the house was located. So what do? Call Tzvi. Tzvi shows up. 3 minutes later, chick-chock. I felt like the Vilna Gaon. Oh, Harav! You know, like the covered was, I couldn't believe it. And he brings us, he shows me the thing, and he takes it settled, and he's slapping the bags, and the air conditioning. And now our flight had some delays, and we're traveling Baruch Hanayin Har with 6 kids. And so anyway, I don't know if we had that May Day American look of desperation on our face or not. But afterwards, I get a text 2 minutes later, pizza will be there in 15 minutes. Pizza will be there in 15 minutes. On him. He says, can I do anything for you? I said, well, you know, I haven't davened Meirev yet. He said, when do you want to daven Meirev? I said, 10 o'clock. He says, I'll pick you up at 9:55. Picks me up at 9:55. I think he's got to go to Meirev also. Zvi davened Meirev already. He's bringing me. And he drops me off, and he goes to the grocery store, and he says, what kind of cereal do you kids like? And it's Cheerios, and all the Americana stuff, and right? And then he drops me off. I said, by the way, we're at Daven Shacharis tomorrow. Oh, Shacharis, let me show you Daven Shacharis tomorrow. But first, let me introduce to the Rav. It was unbelievable. This is a person who is an Orach HaSadikim Jew. And he knows he's in this world to do for other people. He didn't know me for a hole in the wall. But he's another Jew. He's another Jewish Neshama, and I could do something for him. And that's, you learn these things, you begin to look at the world this way. The world is one big opportunity. You'll have a slice of tomato. I once went into a bagel store, and I said, I'd like a bagel with a tomato. And she said, is that it? I said, she messed with the wrong person. I said, is that it? A tomato, and it's delicious, and it's healthy, and it's, I realized I was, you know, I didn't have to get into it with her. But all of a sudden, a tomato on that bagel is, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov. So that's what we have to remember. There's a lot to be said over here. We're going to wrap it up. But the idea is like this. The Orach HaSadikim says that, I don't want to sound too Orwellian, not everybody's created equal. Let's say it another way. Everyone's created equal, but some are more equal than others. There are people in this world who are bringing so much to the world. To themselves, to other people, to their community. Not necessarily because they're stronger, or not necessarily because they're faster, or not necessarily because they're more intelligent. It's because they're mustering their skills, their God-given awareness, to focus on these things. And they will focus on these things. They can be the true ambassadors of Hashem. They can be the true light into the nations. That's what we're in this world to do. So we were Zoicha tonight, on election night, to choose to come close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And to choose to be able to be those people who are going to represent Hashem in this world. I'll just close with a vignette that Rabbi Zilberstein brings down in his Haggadah. And during the war, there was a father and a son, and they were having a Seder in the ghetto. And the father asked his son, you say the four kashas, you say the manishtana. He says, I want to ask you the 6 questions. So he says, Father, he says the 4 questions, Manishtana, Halayla Hazeh. And he says, Tati, he says, am I going to be here next year to say the 4 kashas? That's my 5th question. He said, "Are you going to be here next year to hear me ask the four kashas?" That was his sixth question. And his father said, "Those are good kashas." He said, "I don't know the answer to those. But I tell you that next year, somewhere, some son is going to ask his father those four questions. And every year, until eternity, until Mashiach comes, Jewish children ask their fathers those four questions." So most of the world has long since forgotten these ideas. They are simple and they are profound. They are accessible and they are the lot of the few and the privileged. So Mirtz Hashem, we will undertake to remember these fundamentals, and Hashem will in turn remember us for all that is good in this world, in the next world, not just us, but all of the Jet Mishpacha, and all the Jews of Westchester and the world over, and who remember his bris with B.S. Girl Tzedek, name and honey.
Any questions for this time? This is
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Can we count on you to be here next year?
Very good.
Very good. We can hear you next year.
Very good. Very good. Very good.
I'd like to mention that with all of the anti-Semitism that's been sprouting up and growing by leaps and bounds worldwide, including our